This is The Gardening Show
with Master Gardener Bob Harris
on WESB.
Presented by Worth W. Smith Hardware.
Call the show 368-WESB.
That's 368-9372.
And here we are again, Master Gardener Bob Harris with us. I'm Igor, and we are awaiting your phone calls. If you have any questions about gardening, 368-9372. Of course, you tack that 814 on the front of that. And we're going to be getting a Facebook Live going here, and we're still logging in here trying to get this to work. But Bob did bring show and tell today, so we're going to get that on Facebook Live. So check out Facebook.com/WESB1075. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Igor.
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm cold.
A little chilly.
But it's going to be great today and a perfect day to get out there in the garden.
In the garden, yes. Mm-hmm. So the number one home garden plant is the tomato plant. So I want to talk a bit about the tomato plant. To help you become more successful. Now, there's a lot of different ways to plant the tomato plant. You can use anything from a 5-gallon bucket on up. So you can plant them in containers. They do very well in containers. But I recommend using container soil, potting mix, not soil out of your yard. And you can plant them, of course, in a bed. And, of course, raised beds are recommended more so than a bed that's level with the ground. And the reason raised beds are a little bit better is because they drain better. Most plants fail from overwater in our area. Raised beds stop a lot of weed seeds from blowing in, and it makes it a little bit easier physically for us to take care of a raised bed. So I got a tomato plant with me here today.
So, I don't see any red stuff on it.
No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
It takes a little while. So I want to explain first how you plant it, you know, and of course, how it's planted at the nursery or greenhouse. That top of the soil is the soil level. Now, the tomato plant is an exception to most plants. Most plants, I would say, never put soil on top of the soil that's in the container. And of course, you could take it out of the container. But the tomato plant is different. We can plant them deep. If you look real closely at the stem, you'll see lots of little tiny hairs all up and down the stem. All those hairs have the capability of becoming roots. And of course, with all plants, the more roots you can establish,
I see that. At the bottom, I was looking. It's fuzzy.
Yeah.
So you're saying all those can become potentially roots?
Yes, they can.
No kidding.
Now, I wouldn't do it with any other plant. Just stick with the tomato. So a couple ways to encourage a bigger, better tomato plant with a bigger root system, because a bigger root system is going to mean a better plant, is we can dig a trench and lay it on its side. Of course, it'll be flat like this, and cover over part of that stem. Now, it'll be laying on its side. Within a few days, that tomato plant will tip up and start growing correctly. Another way is just to plant it straight down deep. And what I'm going to do is, with either way, is first get rid of some of the lower foliage that's on there. So you just pinch off those leaves. I'm even going to go a little higher, pinch off those leaves. I'm going to talk about why that's important too. And now I can plant that tomato plant down deep, soil 3-4 inches of soil over the top of where it was in the container.
And so, that's because it's all the furry, because those are where the roots are, or it could be.
It'll develop more roots there. And, of course, the bigger the root system, the better the plant.
See, now you took off some big branches off of that towards the bottom.
Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. And it won't harm the plant at all, because I'm going to explain another thing about leaves close to the soil level. So I've picked off those bottom leaves, and I'm planting the tomato plant down in deep, soil level way up to there. And then, of course, you're going to want to water it in real well to make sure no air spaces are left over, and the soil is in contact with all the roots and the stem that we've got underground real well. The very next thing I want to do is put a stake in there, 2 or 3 foot
medium
high.
Rare or
a nice wooden stake.
Oh, okay.
And start tying the tomato to that stake. This is important. Tomatoes like to vine and creep across the ground. And in nature, that's fine. But in our home garden, it's a disaster. Wherever the soil and leaf come in contact, there's a good chance that a disease will start to get into the plant.
Oh, okay.
So we want to stake them up so they don't fall over, especially once it gets fruit on it. The fruit can get very heavy, and they can tip right over and touch the soil. And then, of course, any bugs or disease that are in the soil can attack the fruit, too. So staking is important. A little later, we're going to put a cage around it even. We got to keep that tomato plant upright and away from the soil, all the foliage away from the soil. So even over time, as this tomato plant grows up, these lower leaves may start to droop down. So I'm going to start picking them off too. And that means just go in there and pinch it off, or take a pair of scissors and get it off. So no leaves are touching the ground. Matter of fact, there's a good, eventually after the plant is like 3 foot tall, we want a good foot of stem with no leaves around it. So they're not close to the ground. Not just because they're going to catch a disease if they touch the ground, but as it rains or you water, that droplet hits the ground and splashes up a ways. So that can get a disease or fungus on that leaf. So we want to protect it there, because that's one of the biggest problems with tomatoes, is they get diseases pretty easily, especially if you've been growing tomatoes in one spot for a long time, like most of us have. So keep the foliage way up off the ground. Eventually, when it gets 3 foot tall, give that area 10 or 12 inches of no leaves close to the ground. That way you'll protect the plant from getting any disease. You'll notice a disease if the leaf starts to get yellow or brown on it, or even a brown spot with black dots in it. That will confirm that there's a fungus on the plant. So immediately remove that leaf and get it away from the garden. Don't just drop it in the garden. So that's how you're going to protect it from some of that fungus and diseases that may be in there. Another good thing to do with tomatoes, for a couple reasons, is a good mulch layer around them. And you can use a lot of different mulches. I kind of prefer grass clippings, because as the grass rots away, it also releases nitrogen, which feeds the plant. And it also heats up and creates a little warm environment all around that root ball of the tomato plant. And that helps that tomato plant. Tomato plants came from South America, so they do like a lot of heat. So that mulch is going to help out a lot. Now, if you don't have grass clippings, another one is straw. Straw is a very good one, too. Anything to protect that soil, to, when you do get it wet, to keep it wet. A lot of people run into a problem after they've grown the plant a ways and got tomatoes ripening, and they forget to water for a few days, it dries out, and they say, well, now it's time to catch up. I'll really soak it. That'll cause the fruit skin, because the plant will suck up more water than it needs. So it'll form cracks on the fruit skin.
Oh.
And then, of course, that's another opening for disease or fungus to get into. So plant them deep, stake them right away, then cage them after they've grown up to 2 or 3 feet. Keep the leaves off the soil, mulch them. Now we want to get into watering and feeding them. Tomatoes are a very hungry plant. They got to produce their whole life in a short span. They got to grow a certain height, flower, and then fruit. So they eat a lot. And of course, they even if you plant them deep, they still can't produce a big enough root system to get everything they need. So it's a good idea to get on a little fertilizer program and help that plant along. Don't over-fertilize because you'll end up growing just a lot of leaves and not a lot of fruit. So watch them closely. If you got nice dark green leaves, it's probably good. If it's growing well, it's good. But once in a while, maybe once every week, you may want to fertilize it, depending on the rain, too. If it hasn't rained at all week, and your tomato plant is a bit dry, don't fertilize it. Just water it first. If you fertilize a dry plant, not only tomatoes, any plant, you can shock them. The number one way is there's salts in fertilizer. So immediately those roots try to draw up any liquid they can. And if they've been dry, of course, they're going to suck up a little extra. And there's salts in there, so they can get salts in their system, and that can dry up the inner parts of the plant. Another way is, and it doesn't happen a lot, if a plant's real dry and you fertilize, it causes an electrical charge in the soil, and it can electrocute your plant. You'll know right away because it will die within 2 or 3 days.
So there's a few ways it could get shocked.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Electrocuted.
So
that's weird.
Yeah,
that's fascinating.
Yeah. I can't remember the whole technical part of it, but our ground is negative. A lot of fertilizers have a positive charge.
Wow.
And when you put the two together, it causes electricity, even a spark underground, and it can really damage the plant pretty bad. So never fertilize a dry plant. But if it's moist, yeah, fertilize it. Keep it healthy and growing. Pruning is real important because with a tomato plant, they say we're trying to produce tomatoes, not leaves. Once your tomato plant gets, and you don't have to count them, gets around 30 leaves on it, then it's time to start pruning. We don't want to produce a whole lot of leaves. We want to force the plant into producing flowers and then fruit. So and we want good air circulation. So it's a good idea to keep your tomato plant thinned out. Go in there and clip out some of the leaves. You should be able to see straight through a tomato plant with no trouble at all. So a good practice is keeping it thinned out, trimming off leaves once in a while, and let more air circulate through. That's going to help it combat against all the fungus and disease that could get on it too, because good air circulation is going to help dry out that foliage, so that water can't sit there. If water droplets sit on a tomato plant for very long, that's a good environment for fungus to take a hold, because the fungus is not only in the soil, it's floating all through the air. So to keep the plant dry and fungus-free, thin it out once in a while. So that's pruning. Now, a lot of talk has been about, I get blossom end rot, or the bottom of my tomato plant is all black and rotting. And they see on the internet and everywhere else that means it's a lack of calcium. And I'm gonna say no, not in Bradford. We have clay-based soil, lots of calcium in it. The plant's never going to have a shortage of calcium. Now, what can happen, though, is the plant's always drawing up calcium. It needs calcium to build a hard layer around its cells to keep it erect. But in a tomato plant, they grow so quickly that the top young growth is not getting enough calcium because the bottom leaves are getting it all. Now, once in a while, the plant will rob some of the calcium out of the lower leaves and send it up to the younger leaves to help support it. So if it's been fed well and watered well, this whole process will take hold. One other way you can get blossom end rot is if a bee decides to pollinate your tomato while it's still damp in the morning, and the bee has gotten a little bit of that fungus, because the fungus is everywhere. It's on the ground, in the air, floating around as spores, has some fungus on it while that blossom is wet, then it probably introduced a little bit of fungus into that fruit then. And of course, gravity pulls it to the very bottom of the fruit, and then you start to get that rotten part. As the summer gets warmer and drier, you'll see that the next tomatoes that the plant produces don't have that. And that's because of the bees were pollinating it early when it was wet. Nothing you can control there. By pruning, you know, and keeping the plant to the point where air can circulate through it, that's going to be helpful. But you can't control the bees having wet feet with a little fungus on them. So just ignore those first few tomatoes. They're still good. Just cut off the rotten part. You can still eat the rest of the tomato. That fungus is not going to harm you in any way. But it's not about lack of calcium in the soil, not in Bradford. In other parts of the country, yeah. But Bradford, we have plenty of calcium in our clay-based soil. And the fertilizers will also have some calcium in it, too, to help support the plant. So I talked about a little bit of pollination and the bee. Now, actually, the tomato plant is a wind-pollinated plant. It doesn't need a bee to pollinate it, but it does need wind. And now that doesn't always occur very well for us. So in order to help it along, once in a while, as it's in bloom, mid-morning, afternoon, I'll go out and shake my plants. Now that stirs up the pollen and makes it float around and goes from flower to flower. That's one way. Another way, and this is important for your whole garden, if you have a lack of bees like I do in my yard, is always plant some flowers in your vegetable garden to help attract the pollinators. And just about anything that blooms is going to attract the bee. There are some that are better, some that I would recommend, like the petunia is a great one. Marigolds are great. Knowing that they're kind of sacrificial, don't concentrate on the flowering plant and trying to keep it healthy and trimming your tomato plant away from. You know, it's a sacrificial plant. You plant them, you know that they're going to get overrun by your vegetable plants eventually, but it's important to have those blossoms there so you can help attract the pollinators to help pollinate all your vegetables, not only the tomato plant. Before I go on to another thing, though, let's do a commercial.
Okay, and thanks to our sponsor for making the gardening show happen, Worth W. Smith Hardware. We'll be right back, and we're trying to get this Facebook thing figured out. We were on, and then it cut me off, and now I'm trying to get on again, but it's saying that we're already on, but we're not. So go there. Figure. I don't know. But anyway, we'll be back with, of course, your phone calls if you have any questions about not only the tomato plant that we're talking about today, but anything else.
Yeah.
Please give us a call, 814-368-9372. Macken and Jeff.
Remember all those outdoor projects you thought about all winter? It's time to get started on them with a visit to Worth W. Smith Company Hardware. To get your lawn and garden in shape, you'll find a variety of mulches, soils, and fertilizers, plus shovels, rakes, wheelbarrows, tarps, and more. If painting is on your list, see Worth Smith for all kinds of quality paints and stains, brushes, rollers, and even scaffolding. Whatever you need for your springtime projects, you'll find it at Worth W. Smith Company Hardware in Bradford.
And welcome back to the Gardening Show on B107.5 FM. You could send us an email question, garden@wesb.com, and check us out once I get this camera figured out on Facebook Live. And, of course, the phones are always open for you, 814-368-9372. Take it away, Bob.
Yeah, something I forgot to mention. Now, this is what they call a determinate tomato. There are two basic types, determinate and indeterminate. The determinate ones are usually the bigger tomatoes, you know, for slicing or cooking, bigger tomatoes. Now, the little cherry tomatoes, most of those, all of those, are indeterminate. So an indeterminate tomato plant is one that just keeps growing all the way till frost, and it keeps producing all the way till frost. The determinate ones, like the beefsteaks or any bigger tomato, are determined to create their life cycle in just a few months. So they want to grow up, produce flowers, and produce fruits, and then they're done. So that's the difference between the two. And I've been talking about determinate tomatoes. Now, the indeterminate tomatoes, or cherry tomatoes, or grape tomatoes, you're going to treat a little differently. You can let a few more leaves and stems and so on grow on it. But the determinate ones, like the beefsteaks and slicing tomatoes, not only are we trimming off the leaves, but where a leaf comes out of the stem, once in a while you'll see another stem starting to grow out of that area. Now, most of them, not all of them, but most of them, we want to get rid of, because chances are there's not going to be enough time in the season for that to grow large enough, flower, and then fruit. So we basically want to just keep the main stem. That's the important part of the plant. And we'll get our 20 to 30 tomatoes off just that main stem. And we'll be keeping the foliage from getting too thick, so we'll have good air circulation. So I'll just review it real quick here, and then I'll get on to something else. So we want to plant them deep. We want to be sure to stake them right away. And then as they get a little larger, we want to cage them. All this to keep them off the soil, keep the leaves off the soil. We want to mulch them to keep it nice and evenly moist. We want to make sure we water them and fertilize them regularly. We want to prune them, and that means quite often prune them. And that calcium, don't worry about it too much around Bradford, because we have plenty of calcium here. Pollination, good idea to plant some kind of pollinator plant, petunias, geraniums, marigolds, any of those bigger flowered ones that the bees really seem to be attracted to, going to help you produce more fruit. Or you can do the paintbrush thing from blossom to blossom, or you can just shake your plant. That stirs up the pollen, and it will land on another blossom nearby.
Shake your plant, thinking about, like, come here, you.
In big greenhouses where they produce a lot of the tomatoes for the stores, they grow them up on real tall strings. And they have a machine that constantly shakes that string.
Wow.
So because in the greenhouse, chances are they're not going to have a lot of pollinators. So they don't have adequate wind all the time.
Well, that's really neat.
So they'll put a shaker on the string, so they're constantly shaking the tomatoes.
Grow, darn you, grow.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a phone call, Bob.
All right.
Well, let's go to the phones and see who is out there today. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Bob?
Yes, I do. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Bob. I had to replant some house plants, so I went down to Walmart and I got a bag of Expert potting soil.
Uh-huh.
And what I got out of it, little brown or little flies about an eighth inch long, just little bitty things.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Just loaded the house with the things. And also, I grew up on a farm, and when you would water the pot, you get this brown liquid like our old compost or our manure pile on the farm.
Yeah.
So I wrote a letter. I called the main Walmart, the main business down there in Arkansas. Okay, and then I had the name of the company that made this stuff. I wrote to them also about the doggone thing. So then and they came back and said, we're sorry about the fly problem, blah, blah, blah. Send us the the bill of sales, you know. Well, who's going to save that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
They come back and said, we're sorry, blah, 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 get that, and then we'll reimburse you. And I haven't had anything about it. I could care less, really.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, never buy that expert stuff. It's loaded with flies.
No, well.
Yeah. What may have happened, though, is...
They
you
the bottom of a manure pile. That's what they did.
You've got an older bag, possibly, and of course, all that stuff in any potting soil is going to decompose. And as it decomposes, it's going to attract what we call fungus gnats, because there is fungus growing in there. And usually, once you if you did it outdoors, once you get it outdoors, it will stop that process. But indoors. Yeah, you have to be real careful. So it's a good idea if you do get a bag of potting soil for indoor plants, give it a little sniff. It'll have a quite an odor to it too if it has a fungus in it. But good thing you were on the ball and you didn't get all the fungus gnats into your other house plants. I'm sure you probably just tossed it out or threw it in the garden. That can happen.
Well, thanks a lot for the call. And we have about, I don't know, 4 minutes left in the show today,
Bob. Okay.
So any other phone calls, please let us answer your questions for gardening or anything outdoorsy or, you know, what are you growing? If it's not a garden, maybe you have a tree that you're wondering about.
Sure.
You know, Bob knows it all. Maybe you want better looking grass. I don't know.
Yeah. So I talked about the tomato plant a lot because it's the number one home garden plant in Bradford. Matter of fact, all through America, the number one problem, better take a phone call first.
Yeah, there's a problem. We got the phone lines lighting up now. Hi, you're on the air on the gardening show.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Getting ready to plant for the summer, but I want to put a perennial shaded area, but I want to put it in a pot. Would it last the winter in a pot?
What perennial?
Stilbe.
A stilbe? Chances are, yes, a stilbe, hosta, daylily. There's quite a few of those perennials. A good size pot. At least
a good size, no.
5 gallons or bigger.
Okay. Yeah, so it'd be 5 gallons or bigger.
Okay. Yep, and a lot of those will survive the winter for a few years until they kind of outgrow the pot, and then you may have to divide them. And then you can repot them or divide them and plant them right in the ground. But sure, yeah, you can grow container perennials in a pot.
Okay, and we'll freeze out on it. Okay, very good.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Thank you so much for calling the Gardening Show. You have a fantastic weekend. And the phone lines are clear. If you have one more question for Bob, I think we could sneak one in at 368-9372.
Yeah, one of the biggest problems gardeners have around here are slugs. So I wanted to talk about slugs a little bit.
Okay.
But first, we better take a phone call.
Hi, you're on the air on the Gardening Show.
Yes, Bob, could you tell me what plant is it that the insects don't like?
Yeah, just about all the mint family they don't like. They don't like garlic and onions, basil. There's quite a few, really, but the mints are well known. As a matter of fact, it's a good idea to have mint in a pot. Don't plant it in the ground because it's very invasive. In a pot. And once in a while, you can make a mint tea and spray that on your other plants, and that'll help deter insects from those plants also.
Oh.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of information. Thank you so much for the call.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
You wanted to talk about slugs real quick.
Yeah, that's the number one problem in the Bradford Gardens, slugs. You can tell if you have slugs if you have holes in your leaves. You're probably not going to see the slugs because they only come out to feed at night. During the day, you're going to look for what the devil's eating my leaves, and you can't find anything. Then you probably have slugs. And there's a lot of different ways to control slugs. There are slug baits. There are slug hunts. Where you'll go out at night with the flashlight and a salt shaker, and wherever you see one of those little rascals. A slug is a snail without a shell, by the way. You'll sprinkle a little bit of salt on it, and that will destroy that slug immediately, and that little bit of salt's not going to harm your ground or your deck or patio or the plant itself, but it will destroy the slug. Slug baits may be necessary too. I'll talk more about slugs in coming shows because, like I said, they are the number one problem, and a lot of people have questions about them, so I want to try to answer them.
Very good. A lot of great information today, Bob. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next week. Master Gardener Bob Harris and The Gardening Show brought to you by Worth W. Smith. We'll be back next week, hopefully on Facebook Live, but always with your phone calls, and we'll talk to you then.